The Old Testament reading for this first Sunday in Advent comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 64. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood, and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, and that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things that we did not look for, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear. No eye has seen a God besides you who acts for those who wait for him. You meet him who joyfully works righteousness, those who remember you in your ways. Behold, you are angry and we sinned. In our sins we have been a long time. And shall we be saved? We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us, and have made us melt in the hand of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Be not so terribly angry, O Lord, and remember not iniquity forever. Behold, please look. We are all your people. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians, first chapter. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Mark, the 11th chapter. When they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it, and will send it back here immediately.' And they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.' This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the epistle lesson from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. So you ever go to the doctor, and you know, when you go to the doctor, you have a problem. I always love it. You ever notice when you were in the doctor's office, the first thing they say is, "How are you?" So the last time I was there, I said, "Fine, I just stopped by to pay you some money." But you're waiting for the results of the ultrasound or the x-ray, and when they come into the room, you're trying to read their face. What's the prognosis here? Because you're anxious to find out. Another thing to compare this epistle to is when you're dating. Remember those days when you were dating? For me, that was the 1870s. Anyway, You find out if the other person's responding to how you're talking. You're trying to read their facial expressions. Are they smiling? Are they laughing? Is there any interest at all? Or a young man at church. He was interested in joining the church because there was somebody he was interested in who attended that church. Now, he would come to the classes and not ask any questions. He would just give the answers. So there's really only one reason he was there, was the girl. You can't see that happening, can you? Just be there for the girl? All right, when the relationship didn't last, he didn't last either at the church. Speaking of being there just for the girl, I got to tell you a personal story, a little sidebar. All right, when I wanted to date Susan, she wouldn't give me the time of day. I mean, I struck out more times than a blind batter in a dark room. So she was practicing sign language with my friends. So I thought if I joined the class, you know, and it worked. I mean, we've been married 32 years. But the pastor who taught the class said I never looked at his hands once the entire semester. Lastly, I know I seem to be telling disconnected stories, but they all do fit together. Or confirmands who go through the motions of confirmation. The only time you see them and their parents is during that two-year time period, and then after they're confirmed, they're gone. We've never seen that one happen, have we? No. Now, all those things that I just gave you, whether it's the doctor or dating, the young man in church, or confirmands, it can make you very pessimistic. But Paul is the exact opposite of that. The opening there to his letter to the Corinthians is both thankful, it has gratitude, and there's optimism there. Now, is Paul just being an optimist? You know, always finding something good? You know, always smiling? Is he an ancient version of Joel Osteen? Oh, I shouldn't compare Paul to him anyway. But St. Paul writes, I always thank my God for you because of the grace of God given to you in Christ Jesus. You were enriched in him in every way, in all your speaking, in all your knowledge, because the testimony about Christ was established in you. Now, if you read 1 and 2 Corinthians, and we studied that in the adult Bible study, let's see how many people remember who were in the adult Bible study room. Were the Corinthians really upstanding citizens? No. Paul actually says that they were sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, male prostitutes, homosexuals, thieves, greedy, drunkards, slanderers, and swindlers. Boy, isn't that a compliment to a bunch of people? But that's the way they were before their conversion. After their conversion, they were striving to be different people. Paul now says, so you take that group of people who were kind of a vulgar group of people. They become Christians, and then Paul talks about their faith's going to endure to the end. He also talks about enriched in all your speaking. How do you enrich your speaking? Well, one of the ways is just forgive other people. Excuse me. Thessalonians chapter 5 says, encourage each other and build each other up. So remain faithful and resist temptations. How do you change your speech? You start talking like it. Talk entirely different. Trying to build somebody up rather than tear them down. Those of you who was still working or are retired, do you always remember that one guy in the office? Well, the one guy you worked with, or it could have been a woman, who could just shred people with their verbal shots. All right? We all know people like that. All right? Rather, we're called to be the ones who build other people up. St. Paul talks about being enriched in all your knowledge. Enriched in all your knowledge. What's the knowledge? The knowledge is Jesus Christ. That all of Scripture points to Jesus, whether it's the creation, the fall, the whole Exodus story, the kingdom of Israel and their history, and all the prophets, it all points to Jesus. So we're called to grow in knowledge. And in the Sunday morning Bible study, we're studying Proverbs, and again, the same message is being hammered in the first five chapters. Seek the wisdom of God. That's the most important thing. Everything else doesn't really matter. Because in the end, what do you take with you? Nothing material, but the only thing you have, I should say, the only thing you have left is your faith. Now, I mentioned doctors and a prognosis. If St. Paul looked at us, what prognosis would he give? Now, there's part of us, and I think every one of us is one of these things once in a while. You want to yell at the lazy spouse? By the way, gentlemen, it's usually us. usually us. Or yell at parents or children. How many of you get frustrated with politics? Every day. So what do we usually do? We turn to a massive amount of sarcasm. So what would the prognosis be? It's still good. Why? Because we're still sinners. Luther put it very well when he said, we are sinners and saints at the same time. We need to forgive other sinners. Remind them about Jesus. Remind them that all of us are sinners. We're talking about changing your speech. You start talking like that, it changes the way you talk to other people. St. Paul talks about knowledge. Bible study. Whether you are doing it in a group setting or personally at home, that's one way to gain knowledge. I won't ask for a show of hands, but how many of you have read the Augsburg Confession? How many of you actually know what the Augsburg Confession is? All right, I'll give you a brief summary of what the Augsburg Confession is. It was written during the time of Luther, and it's relatively brief, but it's exactly what the Lutheran Church teaches and stands for. Gain knowledge. Seek these things out. Study the Scriptures. Seek to improve your knowledge of Him. And Paul in Corinth had a congregation who were thirsty for knowledge about God. So no wonder Paul is optimistic. He's looking at them going, yes, you were sinners. All right, you're still sinners, but you're forgiven sinners, and you have a thirst for knowledge of Him. And isn't it a wonderful thought that God loves us in spite of all of our weaknesses and failures? We work with the Holy Spirit to change our speech and to change our knowledge about Him. St. Paul writes about the prognosis of Corinth in verse 8. He will also keep you strong until the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Is there a lot to fear today? Sure. One of the things to be afraid or deeply concerned are religious freedoms. How many people are concerned, I don't need a show of hands, but concerned about how long will this virus go on and just how much havoc is it going to wreak? Aren't we also afraid for our kids or grandkids, if you're at that point, facing this unchristian world? Because it's a whole different ball game today than it was when we were in school. All right, it's a whole different ball game when you turn on the TV from 20 years ago till today. Have you ever asked the question, will Good Shepherd Lutheran Church survive 10 years, 20? Will we ever celebrate 100 years? Once we get rid of the virus, then we can fill our pews again. All right? Now, is the prognosis of the world doom and gloom? Well, if you want to look at it one way, I guess. But let's look at the example of St. Paul himself. Paul faced persecution. From the point of his conversion until his death, St. Paul faced persecution. Rome was locking up Christians and putting them into jail or executing them outright. But Paul always knew that God would use that persecution to strengthen him and others. And St. Paul talks about that he's been given every good gift. What's a good gift? The Word and the Lord's Supper. The Holy Spirit works to strengthen our faith, and he uses the Word of God to do that. The same Word that the Apostle John writes in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was at creation. The Word became flesh. The Word died on the cross. St. Paul also had a faith that would endure even when life was difficult. Now, it sounds simple, doesn't it, that God is faithful? It sounds so simple. Now, God calls us into fellowship with Him. Fellowship is the idea of being a partner together with someone else or sharing with. So when we're brought into fellowship with Christ, we are brought in, connected then to his death and in resurrection. That's ours. St. Paul also had a patience which was above all human understanding. As I said, St. Paul faced persecution. He faced beatings, he faced torture, he faced jail, and even shipwrecks. But Paul writes this, "We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed." Now, did Paul survive all this on his own strength and power? No way. He did it by God's grace. By God's grace alone, he survived all of this. Now, there's people here who have gone through terrible things, whether that's losing a child, losing a spouse, getting the notice of cancer, but still worshiping God in spite of it all, and not feeling abandoned by God, because God is present in all situations. Now, people who go through these terrible things and remain in the church, are they by nature stronger people than others? Again, no. They're strong because of the power of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul pointed to Jesus at all times. He pointed to Jesus' love for us and what he's done for us. And St. Paul reminded everyone of God's power. Now, anybody wants to argue with me that 2020 has been a good year? By the way, this is the new year in the church calendar. All right, so I got a couple comments about new year. Not like I think it's December 31st. That's why we have the Advent candles up here. It's the beginning of a new church year. So 2020 hasn't been exactly the best, but we're still here, aren't we? Has God's grace changed at all? No. Has God's love for us changed at all? No. Is this stupid virus going to matter in 10 years? It better not. All right, so this too shall pass. St. Paul had a lot of bad times as a result of being a Christian. But his hope was always in Jesus. Look at the faith of the other apostles. God was with them. Why? Because God is always faithful. And I mentioned today is the New Year. So I can say Happy New Year according to the church calendar. Now, if you go outside and start blowing horns and fireworks, people might look at you as a little strange. But it's the New Year in the church. So, since it's a new year in the church, I'm going to encourage everyone, stay in the Word, enrich your speech, increase your knowledge of Him, and you'll have a great prognosis for the coming year. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.